Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Are you busy? Too busy? Do you have time to be all you can be? Buy the organic foods, plant the naturalized garden, grapple with the stock market, juggle your children of any age, and your aging parents, illness, injury, or just navigating the spice cabinet in your kitchen. Pat Snyder knows how you feel and can help some of us feel a little better about it all in her new book, The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. Pat is a lawyer, a mother of three children. She's also chronicles her busy life in a monthly column, Balancing Act, which appears in Suburban News Publications in Central Ohio. Pat also is certified laughter leader with the World Laughter Tour. She speaks on life balance and leads workshops to help others bring more humor into their lives and their writing. And frankly, she brought a lot of humor into my life last night when I was reading her columns. Thank you and welcome, Pat.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be here. It's great to be here.
Many writers believe that humor writing is the toughest genre. And I guess like pornography, you know it when you read it, but folks often don't realize or appreciate the work that goes into it. Do you feel underappreciated?
Oh, I feel excited when I hear from readers that they liked something or can relate to something I wrote about. That's the real joy of it. I can't say I feel underappreciated. There are times when I start writing a column, and I think it's going to be a great one, and I get so stuck, I realize it's just not what I'm supposed to be writing. The ones I'm supposed to write go together pretty quickly.
Right. It's called killing babies. It was a great idea, and you just can't keep it. It's got to go away. Sometimes it's just a quote.
I keep them in draft just in case at some point that idea comes to me that would have made it a good one.
The magic will come back. How'd you start writing humor?
Just because I was thinking one day, it was Halloween season, and I was thinking about how horrendous that had been when my kids were little because of all the debates that went on about what the costume would be. It was September. I had taken a little break from work, and I thought, I've got to write about Halloween, and remembered how my daughter had been a blue M&M one year and how she had lost her costume halfway. And as I started telling the story, I just cracked up. So I decided I would send it into the paper and see if they would be interested, and they were. So
you said you had to write. Why did you have to write? Is it just something you love to do?
Well, I was a newspaper reporter years ago for the Beacon Journal,
right.
Went
Akron
to law
Beacon
school. And always loved writing and kept freelancing even when I was practicing law. And so it was fun to pick it up again.
And it was all about Halloween. I was just thinking my parents just used to turn us all into hobos and dump us out the front door. So can't you be a hobo? You never see any hobos anymore. It's a big problem. I always wanted one of those store-bought in the boxes. You remember the olden days? Of course, now they have the big, huge Halloween stores. And It's
very sophisticated now. I think it depends on the personality of the child. I had one child who had to build a costume for himself every year, and he wound up being a builder. So right away, we should have known that that turtle made out of some sort of a ski slide was going to have real possibilities down the road.
You talk about your family a lot, and you often share personal travails in your columns. And you told one about a family reunion that went awry. I don't know how you made it. You made me laugh at these horrible things that have befallen you, but you did. And I know that your husband is deceased now, and I'm very sorry about that. But he has played a large role in many of the columns in the book.
He had some serious long-running health problems with the diabetes, and one of the ways that both of us coped with that long-running scenario was through humor. It just happened. The column you write about, I think, is called Please No More Great Stories or something like that.
Yeah. About your perspective as a writer, too, about how my friends always think I have all these great ideas.
Exactly. Anytime something bad happens to a writer, someone's going to say, oh, that'll make a great column, as probably you know.
Yes.
So we were having a family reunion. We had people coming in from all over the country. They all had special dietary needs. My mother was not doing well. I'm the only child, and I was the caregiver for her. She, of course, wanted to come to the family reunion. And we learned just as we were ready to have it that my husband was going to have his leg amputated the next week. His father had just died. Couldn't have it too soon because we were planning a memorial tree for his dad in our neighborhood. So it got so ridiculous It was so bad we had to laugh about it. And I think that's the way humor helps us cope sometimes, especially people in caregiving situations or people whose health is declining.
You write a lot about the healthcare system.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's such a timely topic. It really takes up an entire chapter in your book. Did you ever imagine 10 years ago you would spend so much time writing about healthcare issues?
I really didn't. And actually, I'm excited to announce that along with Steve Wilson of the World Laughter Tour, we're launching the campaign to humorize the healthcare system. Steve decided we had a little glitch in the printing of my book. There was a typo that appeared in the back cover, and we couldn't figure out what to do. Now, the one you have has been corrected.
I, of course, immediately am checking.
But this one just had a little glitch in which the word planner was misspelled. So we had to find a way to fix that, and I decided, well, we can just smack a label on it and call it a waiting room copy. Because my husband spent so much time in waiting rooms and had said before he died last May, this should really be in every waiting room because it's something you can laugh about. So we created waiting room copies, and then Steve decided that he would offer all the certified laughter leaders around the world an opportunity for a free waiting room copy if they bought the book through his website, worldlaughtertour.com. So we feel that around the world, healthcare is going to be funnier, we hope.
I think that's a great idea. Although you make the point, I'm not sure you made the point, but you expect to go into a doctor's waiting room and sit down and read a good People magazine. In fact, I feel cheated if there aren't several copies of People magazine laying around. That's what I do in the waiting room. And if there's not enough time, and then they drag you off to the examination room and make you sit there for another 15 or 20 minutes, I take my magazine with me.
Absolutely.
But
What the problem is sometimes the news in the People magazine is a couple years old
because they haven't changed
them out. About Princess Di.
And you mentioned Michael Jackson and, you know, the last time he got his nose fixed in it. And, of course, he's now deceased.
Exactly.
And, I'll probably be reading about that in 6 months. What is your favorite topic to write about?
I have to say my kids have been my favorite topic to write about, probably not their favorite topic for me to write about. My daughter grew up as a teenager while I was writing this column, and it's been going for about 10 years now. So she is pictured in the book, in many cases, rolling her eyes. She doesn't say a lot, but she rolls her eyes. And occasionally she would say to me, "I don't like the way I looked in that column." And I say, "Well..."
There's a way to change that.
I just say, well, she's now delightful. She's 21 and she's no longer a teenager. And
right. It is not terminal effort.
It's not.
She grew up being written about and
absolutely.
Probably eventually got used to it. And your husband as well seemed like a really good sport.
He was a very good sport. He was kind of the foil in a lot of the columns. He's one who always felt that if there was a way I could complicate life, I would find it. And so he just became amused at all that was going on.
If you would like to join the conversation with Pat Snyder, humor writer, her new book, The Balancing Act, is out now. You can call 614-292-8513 or email us on allsides@wosu.org. Mel, do you have something fun to say?
Well, not really. But I do have a question. How does one keep looking at the bright side of things when one's loved one may be in failing health? How do you do that?
Well, I think one of the ways that my husband and I were able to do it is to get little mutual jokes going about things we were experiencing in the healthcare system. For example, we would have little bets going on whether they would have our current phone number in the file when we arrived, or how many times they would ask, how many people would ask at the hospital, now what medications are you on, or what are you allergic to? And he would take in a huge sheaf of papers that he had put together in writing with all these things, and he would hand it to each person as we went through, and we would kind of throw each other knowing looks. And that kind of lightened the mood. He had a baseline for looking at life himself, which is, it is what it is. And starting from there, not so much regrets, but trying to find the light side in addition to all the other components of health problems.
Sort of the life side,
I think so. I think so.
We have another call from Gail. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann. Pat, I have a question for you. I'm an aging coach, and I was wondering, given the importance of lightening up and laughter in all of our life, if you'd be able to share some of your thoughts on the influence of laughter and humor in general in our aging and its importance, as well as the importance for those of us who are in caregiving positions to aging parents. And I'll take my answer off the line. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gail.
That's really a good question. I spent a lot of time in a senior center with my mother, who moved here about 10 years before she died last October. And she had a knack for seeing the humorous side of things that really taught me a lot. She would look around herself at the senior center and tell me these amazing stories of what was going on. Laughing about people's obsession with food, for example. And she learned to get a kick out of what she was seeing, and that really helped me as I watched her decline over time, that she had a sense of humor herself. Also, I noticed that there's an interesting sort of sense of humor that people develop when they're working in places like nursing homes, and they love the people so often that they're taken care of and will tease them, want them to laugh. One of the real pleasures I've had as a certified laughter leader is going in and working with caregivers or people who are staying in senior centers, just not telling jokes, but learning the good belly laugh that can make us feel so much better.
Patty, you're on the line.
Hi, this is Patty out in Canal Winchester. Pat, I've been reading your column for years, and I sense that there's some kind of spirituality sometime, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about spirituality when it comes to writing, and also any thoughts that you might have whether God has a sense of humor.
Okay, Patty, that's a big question.
That's a lot, yeah.
That's a loaded one.
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, thank you for reading my column. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I do have a sense of spirituality in the sense that I think each of us has a mission and something important to share in terms of what they've learned in life with other people. And that's why I've really made it my mission at this point to talk about the importance of humor and laughter in life and the ability to distance ourselves from things that seem to be really tough and get a new perspective on them so that we can continue to live our lives to the fullest. So I would say that's my spiritual take. And, of course, God has a sense of humor.
He made Patty. And Patty makes us laugh. You can call and talk to Patty if you dial 614-292-8513. And if you don't have a dial phone, you can push the buttons too. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. We'll take a quick break.
This is Neil Conan. Here on Talk of the Nation, we learn a lot about our guests, like journalist Bob Woodward, who noticed that we really like to listen to our callers.
You do these calls, you put the caller on, and leave them on.
Even Woodward's been shuffled off other programs.
Anyone been a dumped caller?
Have your say and a follow-up on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation is coming up today at 2 on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Emma Fett in for Amy Jurevich this week. 68 and sunny right now. Expect some beautiful weather over the next couple of days. High around 79 and sunny today. Cooling down this evening to 57 with partly cloudy skies. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high near 79. Nice weather continues this weekend as well. Sunny and 78 on Saturday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues now.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I am talking today with columnist Pat Snyder. Her new book is out, The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. Pat, would you mind reading something from the book? It's about something that's a topic, not a thing, but a topic that is close to my heart, and I am the same as you.
Okay, I think this has to do with TV remotes, right, Ann?
Yes.
Okay. This one's called TV Skills Are Remote, and it goes, I don't watch much TV. I'd like to say this is because reality TV isn't deep enough for me, or Friends is too predictable, or John McLaughlin offends me. But none of those high-minded reasons apply. The real truth is, I can't work the remote. Remotes, that is. We're now up to 7, lined up in military order on the coffee table. I think there are a couple more under the couch cushion. They're all essential, my husband says, to the efficient running of the contents of our otherwise unimpressive entertainment center. Each one, it seems, works a different machine. Every few months, we've had an orientation session, but recently, when several unexpected surgeries laid him up and made him a TV slave for weeks, Gadget Man had time to begin more serious remote control training, starting, as usual, with the one marked TV. This one is just basic, he explains once again, but now with painkiller-induced patience. All it does is turn on the TV and control the volume. He hands over a sleek, gray plastic control. It has 36 buttons, I notice. How basic is that? It changes channels, too, I say. No, he screeches, diving across the couch. We're near the 3-hour point on painkiller. Never change channels on this one. It always stays on 3. You use the cable remote to change channels. Without knowing it, he has summed up the problem. Every single remote claims to do every possible thing. The TV remote has sorts of buttons that say they run a VCR and a DVD and something called a theater, as well as a V-chip, a sleep timer, and something called a hyper-sir. I point this out, and Gadget Man squints. Okay, he says. There is a button to push on here if you want to watch DVDs, even though we also have a DVD remote, which I'm getting in a minute. I reach for the little button under the red letters DVD. No, he screeches again. We're near the 4-hour point on the painkiller. Never change it to DVD. Just go to the little button under Video 1. It's marked Input. And you can use it for the karaoke machine, too. And on we go.
And on we go.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Someone just told me where the mic switch is so I can turn it down while I'm hooting and hollering back here. We have more calls. We have a lot more calls, and I'm sure it's from loyal readers, so let's get to them. If you would like to call and join the conversation with Pat Snyder, call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. Ann, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. I'm so glad to listen to you both today. And Pat, I wanted to ask you a question, and I also wanted to thank you for writing your book and giving the world some more humor. We certainly need it nowadays.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I had a question. Do you ever have to ask your family's permission to write about them?
Well, I'm lucky in one respect. My two older boys are from a previous marriage, and their last name is different, so they gave me carte blanche permission to write about them because they said no one would ever figure it out. Our daughter was a little more sensitive, and on most occasions, when I thought it was really relevant, I would let her read it first, but if she wasn't immediately available and I had a deadline, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
She still survived.
No, oh, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Nancy, are you on the air? Okay, sorry about that. Christine, you've been waiting a while.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I think probably Pat's book is like the prescription to what I'm ill with. My life is insane. Yesterday I had 33 phone calls on my cell phone, I counted at the end of the day, and that was in the midst of having an engineer come to give me a quote for a Boeing foundation, and we had a flood in our basement last week. And I own a home up in New Hampshire, and yesterday, or the night before last, we had the plumbing give out, and the sewer line broke off.
What is it about the plumbing and sewer thing, huh?
Yeah, somehow, I don't know, there seems to be a curse going around for plumbing. I don't know. And then the plumbers wouldn't come if there was poop on the floor, even though I thought poop was a plumber's specialty.
I think that's a first-class emergency, Christine.
It was crazy. And the last few days, and I had job interview in the midst of all that. It was insane.
So, do you use humor to survive this? Or
I think she's going to ask.
Are
me
you asking
can,
us?
How can I possibly
want Pat to be funny now?
Yes. How can I get through this? Sometimes I'm so stressed, and you know, maybe you have some suggestions of things. You know, especially when it's just coming, just one right after another, bang, bang, bang. You know.
Actually, Pat's book does have a lot of tips in it. That's part of the subtitle. Pat, why don't you address that?
Yeah, it does have a couple tips. I guess the two main tips, I mean, there's 74, but the main gist of the book is try to simplify things if you can, and if you can't, then try to laugh away the chaos. And I agree with you. When you get into one of these emotional train wrecks with so many things breaking, it is really, really tough. One thing you can do is just to take a break from it to try to get a little perspective. I think we all know that disaster coupled with time equals humor. But we don't always have the luxury at that time. So if you could step back a little bit and take a break. Another thing that works really well is to exaggerate, although I'm sure you're thinking, how do I even need to exaggerate this? It's so bad. But puff it up even more, and it becomes even funnier. So try that. If all else fails, I'm having a free workshop on September 28th. If you're in Worthington area, it's at On Second Thought Consignment Store. Go on my website, www.patsnyderonline.com. Coming events, you can sign up, and our whole theme is going to be making sniffing out the funny tales in your life. So we're going to practice all these techniques.
Okay, Shelley, you're on the air. You want to talk about the workplace?
I do. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I'm in the human resources field, and while I love to try to bring as much humor into the workplace as possible, I always feel like I have to be cautious, and I'm always telling employees, you know, be careful of your jokes and things like that. So how do you deal with that? I mean, don't you have to be somewhat careful in using humor in the workplace?
Oh, you do. And as a recovering lawyer who once practiced in the employment law area, I applaud you for noticing that this is an issue and being concerned about it. Obviously, there are areas where you need to stay away from using humor, especially when it targets someone, makes fun of someone, gets into anything related to protected categories. But more important, just as a human being, we never want to make fun of somebody. We want to laugh really more at ourselves. And I think that's the stress reliever that we can bring to the workplace. For example, your best human resources trainers will laugh at themselves when they're talking with their employees about bloopers that they have made in the workplace and how they now realize that those weren't good ideas. That's a very effective way of training. Also, as a certified laughter leader, I would tell you that laughter that doesn't involve humor is a very safe way to lighten up at the workplace, and that can be through having somebody come in and do laughter exercises. Just leading people in good belly laughs through exercise that will actually have some physical benefits for them, like lowering their blood pressure, their stress level, putting them in a better position to deal with the things that are bothering them at work.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm speaking with Pat Snyder today. She is a humor writer. She has a new book out. It's called Balancing Act. If you would like to join the conversation, call 614-292-8513. I'm sorry. I keep saying it's called Balancing Act. I just have to stop myself. Poor Pat. The name of the book is The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. Balancing Act is the name of her column that is published in a monthly column that's published in the Suburban News publications from around Central Ohio. If you would like to join the conversation, call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Okay, speaking of the World Laughter Tour, let's see. Mary, are you online? Mary?
Hello. Hi. Yes, I'm sorry. There was an interruption.
No problem.
Pat, I wanted to ask, you've mentioned a couple of times, I think that Ms. Fisher was going there with her comment about the World Laughter Tour. I wanted to ask you what that's about and whether you actually do workshops or seminars or write about it or whatever.
I'd love to
talk
about the
offline.
I'd love to talk about the World Laughter Tour. The World Laughter Tour was started actually by a local person, Steve Wilson, who's a psychologist, joyologist who lives here in Gahanna, Ohio, and he has now thousands of certified laughter leaders around the world who can conduct laughter exercises for people who want to just to get together on a regular basis and laugh for stress relief.
What's a laughter exercise?
It could be
could
anything.
Could we do one now?
I'll tell you my favorite one.
Okay.
If we were on the radio, it's kind of hard. My favorite one is the runaway lawnmower, in which you crank up the lawnmower, and you crank up the lawnmower, and you crank up the lawnmower, and then it runs away with you, and you run all over the room. In laughter exercises, we teach some really important principles. One of them is, as I was saying to Shelley a moment ago, we don't laugh at other people. We just enjoy the good physiological benefits of the belly laugh. People actually in India have been doing this for years. They have laughter clubs that get together, and that's how this whole concept started. In fact, Steve Wilson even went to India to learn more about the laughter. So the exercises are very worthwhile. They also go along with some rules for good-hearted living, in which each day of the week we're intentional about doing something like forgiving people, being kinder, and that sort of thing. It's just a very worthwhile program, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in finding a regular laughter club or a laughter leader in this area to go to worldlaughtertour.com. There are a number of them here in this area. I am certainly available to do that myself. And the programs that I do for laughter are described on my website, www.patsnyderonline.com.
Okay. Stuart, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Stuart.
I'm a recovered lawyer, having retired 15 years ago. But I used to do crazy things to laugh. First of all, I handled bad kinds of cases, contested custody cases, sexual abuse cases. And to get away from it all, I had to use humor myself. I would buy $2 bills and spend them. That's all I spent. But to prove a point, I stood outside of a bank one day in the summer yelling, $2 bills for sale, $1 each, and nobody bought them.
You sound, Stuart, like someone who doesn't have to work too hard to push his comfort level. You remind me of a guy that I ran into this summer at Chautauqua Institution in New York. I was doing a humor and creativity workshop there. And in order for people to push their comfort level, I asked him to wear red clown noses around the Chautauqua campus. Well, if you've been to Chautauqua, it's a wonderful cultural mecca. Not necessarily the place where you wear a red clown nose, but the one guy, kind of like you, Stuart, decided that he could not only do it, but he would stand at the entrance to the Chautauqua Symphony that evening and pass out programs with his clown nose on. And with a sign around his neck that said, Pat Snyder made me do this. But sometimes pushing our comfort level like that really can relieve a lot of stress. Did you feel like you practiced law better as a result?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, he's off the air now. Sorry about that. Well, humor, there is a physiological response to humor. It's not just an emotional thing. That
Absolutely.
Actually, there are people who believe that it can make you feel better, too, and help not maybe perhaps not cure, but help relieve a lot of symptoms that associated with different kinds of problem. Pain. It's a pain reliever, some people say.
Right. And it actually reduces your serum cortisol level, which is an antidote to harmful stress that we experience, reduces your blood pressure, it liberates our immune boosters, and increases our endorphins, helps us breathe better. So there are a lot of good things that happen when we laugh. Also conditions our abdominal muscles and just relaxes us all over. You know, you look at kids and they don't seem to have too much problem getting into laughter. Laughter's contagious, and children are just so much fun to watch because they're so spontaneous in their laughter. Something happens to us as we're growing up. I think people say, straighten up.
Or grow up.
Grow up. Yeah. And it's so sad.
I agree. You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you'd like to join the conversation with Pat Snyder, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ted Danson about his roles in the new HBO series Bored to Death, the FX series Damages, and Larry David's series Curb Your Enthusiasm, in which Danson plays himself. And of course, we'll talk about the role that made him famous, Sam Malone on Cheers. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air is coming up in just about 20 minutes here on WOSU 820 NPR News. The nice weather has swept into Columbus this week. Currently, it's sunny and 68, mostly sunny today with a high of 79. It'll cool down to about 57 degrees tonight with partly cloudy skies, mostly sunny tomorrow, high near 79. And Saturday should look extremely similar, sunny with a high near 78. Access WOSU anytime online at WOSU.org. Hear the latest updates from NPR and WOSU News from the convenience of your computer. Listen online at WOSU.org.
WOSU Public Media and Ethiopian Tiwa Haidu Social Service present the Ethiopian New Year Celebration, Saturday, September 19th from noon to 4 p.m. at Whitehall Yearling High School. Visit ethiotss.org for more information.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm talking with Pat Snyder today. She has a new book out. It's called The Dog Ate My Planner, Tales and Tips from an Overbooked Life. Pat, something different about this. It's humorous, but you take it a step further with the tips. And they are real tips. How did you come to that conclusion that would be a good idea?
Well, my readers would get in touch with me, and they'd do one of two things. One, they'd say, oh, wow. That's exactly what happens to me. But then a lot of people would say, you know, you really don't have to have that problem because here I solved it. So I started just taking note of the tips and collecting them, and I thought I should pass them on to other people. In fact, in addition to the speeches and workshops that I'm doing, I really want to become more of a clearinghouse for tips, for people to share what's working for them.
Some of them are funny. I started to read them. They're funny. But not all of them are. Some of them are actually just really good advice and you know, insights on how to solve a problem or how mm-hmm. to cope with something. So it's a little different tone. Did you do that on purpose or?
I did because I'm pretty serious about the tips. Yeah. I think they're important for us to look at. Sometimes I put a little bit of a flippant comment in as well. But I wanted to have some solid information. People these days don't have a lot of time to wade through lots of things. I wanted the columns to be in there short and the tips to be pretty concise, but to be things that they can really pick up on and use.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Nancy, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, hi. Pat, I really enjoy your column, and I look forward to reading your book.
Thank you.
What I wondered is something a little different. What do you think is the biggest reason that we do overbook our lives and get ourselves into these tizzies?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, I think there's one reason that all of us are working to correct, maybe, and that is sometimes I think we just want to be loved too much. We commit to too many things. We have trouble saying no, and that's something that we are in control of and can take care of. I think on top of that, in the current economy, we've got other complicators. People's jobs are in transition. Families are in transition. Finances are in an uproar. And all of that contributes to the confusion that we have in our lives. And I'll tell you, computers and electronic devices, which is chapter number one in my book, is real, that's all contributing to the fast pace and the overbooking. Clients expect instant answers to emails and faxes. The pace is really quick, and now we have all these opportunities with, we can Twitter, we can be on Facebook, we can LinkedIn. They're all fun. They're all things we want to do, but they also take time. So learning to manage the time with social media is another challenge that we're facing now. I should mention that Henry, the time management dog, is on Twitter, by the way. And I have a time management tip from Henry.
Well, tell us what that is.
Well, Henry, I decided to really be sending out a time management tip at lunchtime every day, about 11:30. But I knew that I would not remember to do this for him because he's still struggling a little with the computer. So I discovered this site called Hootsuite. And you can actually do your tweets ahead and schedule them. I thought, how cool, because anytime you can take social media and control it by scheduling it instead of being reactive all the time, it works so much better. So if you're on Twitter, Henry is Planner Dog, and you can get your tips from him.
Okay, Amy is on the ear. Amy, you have something nice to say, so far be it from
me to get
in your way.
Oh, thank you, Anne. Pat, I'm reading your book, and it is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. I was reading the chapter that you were just mentioning, to E or not to E.
Yeah.
It is so hysterical. It's so true. And yet, when you talk about the mouthy voice on the GPS, I just had to laugh because I experienced that too. I am savoring your book.
Oh.
It is so wonderful, but I'm just reading it a little bit at a time because it's a great way to add laughter into your life, and we all need that. And I just have a quick question, and that is, do you have a favorite column in any of your books?
Oh, I do. I think it's the one that says, it's about please no more great material, and it's about the fact that when you write a humor column, everyone says when disaster strikes, oh, that'll be a great column. Sometimes you really don't want to hear that. You really just want to share your pain.
Okay, thanks, Amy. We have an email from Gary. He says, in your book, you have leash laws that give hints on harnessing the stress and managing an overbooked life. We just talked about those. Gary asks, do you practice them now, and is your life perfectly organized?
Oh, I try to practice them, and my life is not perfectly organized. What fun would that be if we always have to keep trying to improve? But the leash laws help. They're 74, so check them out.
Okay, and then Lynn, you're on the air. Lynn, are you there?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. I wanted to say also to Pat, I have loved your column for years. It's just been a gift. And I'm reading your book as well, and it is marvelous.
Thank you.
Our family is suffering through Alzheimer's with my mother, and I have found as she continues to deteriorate, it becomes less funny. And our family has always had a laughing and laughing at ourselves. and it's harder to find the humor as we go through this in the later stages. And I think you have such a great message that I wondered, how do I get in touch with you to book a workshop or a speech? Because I know so many people that are experiencing the same thing we are, and your message is so marvelous.
I want to be Pat's new agent. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
You go to patsnideronline.com. I have presentations listed, and you can contact me that way to describe some of the things I do. But caregiving is one that really it's a priority presentation because there's so many people who are truly often taking care of their children and their parents at the same time and really need that more humorous perspective.
Pat, you brought something with you today. It's called Miracle Mayonnaise. No, Miracle. What is it? Miracle.
I brought you a slice of Miracle Mayonnaise cake.
Which reminded me of something funny from my childhood. I used to call it Marassel Whip, but go on.
Well, first of all, it's chocolate, which is a natural stress reliever. I'm sure research has shown that, right?
Somewhere.
I don't know about mayonnaise, but anyway. No, it's a Miracle Mayonnaise cake, which I'm unwrapping for you now, although our...
Pat must have heard my stomach growl.
I belong to a book club, as many women do, and we occasionally read the book. Mostly we come for dessert, but this is just an example of how a simple thing can make us laugh, as we were doing last night at my house. Last month we decided we would read Julia and Julie, and that was a wonderful book, and it got us to thinking about food and the 50s. And we decided we should have a potluck with only 50s food. It's amazing that I'm here today. So one of our members, who had threatened to bring some stew that had an ingredient that I think she said was squirrel.
Was it Dinty Moore? Really,
showed up instead, thankfully, with something called Miracle Mayonnaise Cake. And the cake, of course, was in a 50s dome lid. And we were also relieved she hadn't brought the stew. We were just ecstatic. Plus, it was chocolate.
Smell it. It was so aromatic. Go on.
Then she proceeded to tell us that, like most people, she had elderly parents. She had this is real sketch. She has a new dog that weighs 100 pounds, that she's taking to obedience school. She has all this stuff going on. So she said, you know, I should probably tell you that I had this cake in the back seat of my car for the last 3 hours, and we're all thinking, mayonnaise? This is like bad potato salad.
And how do we not eat it?
And how do we not eat it, exactly? So then she rushed in and said, but I had it in this cooler bag. And the cooler bag is good up to 3 hours, so we're all debating. So I won't go on with all of it.
Is this from that cake?
This is the cake. I brought it for you because I think I checked with a couple people this morning.
They all lived through it.
And she assures me that her only concern about it not being refrigerated was the buttercream frosting might have run. Okay. So I think it's safe.
I've never had buttercream even give me the slightest bit of indigestion before. Let's see. Frank, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Pat. A friend of mine gave me your book. He said that I had a short fuse, and I haven't had the time yet to read all of it, but I really like your advice on trying to find the funny parts of bad situations. As a contractor, occasionally I do have bad situations, and my temper can really flare, and actually that can be really, you know, that can really cause situations to turn even worse. So, you know, if you could give more tips on that, I'd really appreciate it.
That's an excellent question. I think all of us have that.
Well, just being able to acknowledge it in yourself is, you know, I mean, that's the first step, Frank.
That's right. And he's right on it. And being able to take a step back and maybe take a step around the block if you really have a tough sense of reaction when someone's unhappy. But again, if you can exaggerate what's going on in your own mind and puff it up really large, I think you'll see the humor in it, and that will give you a little stress relief. There's also something I learned as a laughter leader called silent laughter, and that is you just laugh without a sound. If you're in a situation, even at work, where you can't really laugh, you can at least go into the restroom and do a lot of silent laughter, and that kicks in all this great physiological stuff that relieves your stress. So give it a try.
Okay, Marley, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Marty.
It's
Marty,
yes. Hi.
I can't read.
Hi, okay. Pat.
Hello. How are you, Marty?
I have a couple of different kinds of questions. The first one would be the fact that we're heading into the holidays, and I was wondering if you have some thoughts on how to use humor in terms of dealing with the stress of the holidays. Hello?
I absolutely do.
Okay. And the second question has to do with the idea of, I don't know whether you can speak to this or not, but using humor as a means of dealing with disciplining kids, teenagers possibly.
Ah, good question, Marty. I was going to say you only get one question, but I'm glad we waited for your second one.
As a lawyer, I object to a compound question. Okay, well, let's start with the holidays. I really have had a lot of experience on holiday chaos because my husband was Jewish, I'm Christian, and we had double doses of holidays.
And, of course, you tried to do it all.
Of course we tried to do it all. And one year we did it all while we were moving, and I gave everybody a little necklace to wear that said, I survived the holidays in a Judeo-Christian family, step family that is moving. But what I've found over the years is if you kind of take an inventory at the end of the holiday season or try to remember how it was last year if you haven't blocked it all out and think of those things that were really most meaningful to you during the holidays and just go for those this year. Next year you might try something else, but really narrow down what it is. And this can't be a single person's activity. It really has to be a family meeting. And part of the family meeting you say at the beginning is we're going to be delegating the holidays this year, and we're going to be talking about what was really meaningful. Because when they know you're going to be delegating it, since the holidays often become a mom thing, then everyone's more willing to pare down a little bit.
Except that I'm visualizing rolling eyes right now. am I crazy? Or because that brings us to the next topic from...
The words family meeting always trigger rolling eyes.
Yeah. And, you know, there's only three of us, so it's hard to make it feel like a meeting, too. But Frank brought up the other issue of children and how to discipline them with humor.
With humor, and that's such a great question.
When the basement chains on the wall don't work.
Well, I'm going to ask Ann, have you had any success with that? That's a tough one.
The chains don't work.
I had one child where I would say, you know, what do you think is the appropriate punishment? And he'd always come up with something he was willing to do, and that was it. Or if you would punish him, he would say, or he would say before you told him, when you said don't do something, he would say, well, what's the consequence if I don't? And I would tell him, and he'd say, I think it's worth it.
I love it. When he doesn't mow the lawn, you say, well, how should we, you know, what should we do? And he says, well, I'll mow the lawn. Yeah. It's like, I think you missed the point. We have about, I think, 3.5 or 4 more minutes with Pat Snyder. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher at WOSU 820. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's see. Nita, you're on the air.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Yes.
Ann, I have a question for Pat about our crazy electronic life. I see that Pat is on Twitter and Facebook.
She is very groovy in my book.
And has a website, and of course she has a book, and she's and I just wondered about balancing all this electronic.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, isn't it, that she writes this book about balance and all that stuff, and she's freaking me out with all this stuff she's got going on in her life.
Exactly.
So was that just an observation, or do you have a question?
No, the question was essentially, do you have any tips for how do you do it? Especially when you're in a marketing kind of situation, just how do you balance all that?
Well, I think scheduling media is really the most important thing. Like Facebook, I can only check it once a day, and I decide when I'm going to check it. I think that's helpful. It's probably not as fun. I probably miss a few things. But same with LinkedIn. I don't check that all the time. There's one day in the week, usually Sunday, that I'll do it. My blog, I do just one day a week. And a lot of these things can be written ahead. I was mentioning before, you can send tweets on a schedule. On my website, I can write for my blog and schedule that ahead so that it's not like I'm there all the time. But, yeah, do I ever deviate from that? Do I ever keep pressing the send and receive button on my email when I really should be doing it according to the four-hour work week at noon and 4 p.m.? I'm not that good, but thanks for asking.
I guess social media, part of the challenge is just figuring out how it works and then make it work for you. And if you're like me, you kind of just wade in and hope that you figure it out. I'm just learning the Facebook. By the way, there is a Facebook page for All Sides with Ann Fisher at WOSU.org if you want to check it out. We are running out of time with Pat Snyder. It has been a lot of fun. I can still smell that cake. And no, I haven't eaten it yet. I wouldn't do that while I'm on the air.
Okay. If anyone is interested in getting my book in town here, it's on its way to Barnes & Noble and Borders, but it's at the Book Loft and Sage Sisters and on Second Thought and on my website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Can you give your website address again?
Yeah, it's www.patsnyderonline.com.
And then also the website for the World Laughter Tour.
WorldLaughterTour.com.
And then your Twitter.
The handle for Henry, the time management dog.
I'm sorry, I didn't know the lingo.
I think it's www.twitter.com/plannerdog.
Are you working on another book now, or are we just going to wallow in the success of this one?
I think I'm about as booked as I should be at the moment. But I get great ideas from readers all the time, so I'm sure something will come.
Okay. I'm just about out of time, and I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Pat. Thanks for the cake, and I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had a great time.
Yeah, and thanks to all the listeners who called in and joined the conversation today. You have been listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.